Support for the Alaska Live series of live music and conversation on KUAC is made possible by a grant from Design Alaska. Design Alaska, architecture and engineering for the new frontier. Well, good afternoon. It is my pleasure to have the Seamus Egan Project here at the KUAC Alaska Live Studios. I'm your host. I'm Lori Neufeld. Seamus Egan, would you introduce your band? And we'll get started here in just a little bit once we get everybody back. But we've done sound check. That's good.
We're good to go, more or less, once we get the full complement here. Sitting here in the studio and to my right, on the cello is Mr. Tristan Claridge, and we're very happy to have him here with us. Next to Tristan is Maura Smiley, and she'll be singing and playing the banjo and the piano accordion.
Great.
And to my left is a chair, but will soon be occupied by Mr. Owen Marshall on the guitar.
And Seamus Egan, you have brought in several guitars and a banjo, and so you'll be playing that and maybe even a whistle. We don't know
yet. You never
know.
There's plenty of things laying about here to make some noise with. So we'll see how things develop.
Well, it's great to have you here in Fairbanks, and you've come here for the Far North Fiddle Fest.
Yeah.
And that's a wonderful event we have every year. It's the 12th year of this Far North Fiddle Fest, and that's going on all weekend. So you'll be playing at the concert that culminates the Far North Fiddle Fest
on Sunday.
Sunday afternoon at 3 at Herring. So if you like what you hear here today on KUAC's Alaska Live, make sure you find out more about that show at the FairbanksHospitalFoundation.com, or you can just Google Far North Fiddle Fest and find out more about the Seamus Egan Project and all the bands that are part of that festival. Well, what are we going to start with music-wise?
Well, we'll maybe start with ease into things with an instrumental now that our intrepid guitar player is back from his journeys.
Great.
And we'll start with a tune that I wrote a little while ago, just called Mr. and Mrs. Walsh. Thank you.
Oh, that was great. The Seamus Egan Project here at the KUAC's Alaska Live Studios. I'm your host. I'm Lori Neufeld. And Seamus, you said you wrote that instrumental tune. And I love the way you wrote it for being passed around to the whole band.
Yeah, well, you know, it just sort of developed that way, sort of a natural evolution. Yeah.
And was that a newer tune that you've written,
or
you've been okay?
Yeah, I think so. They kind of get written, and you forget exactly when it happened.
Right.
But yeah, since I can remember it, actually to play it, it mustn't have been that long ago. So that's positive.
You know, that is one of my questions I have about writing instrumentals in specifically because. You know, you don't sit here with sheet music in front of you. You don't have chords written down, as far as I can see. I can't see the floor,
yep.
But nobody's got them written down. The band's shaking their head. And so how do you remember these songs that can go on from 3 to 6 minutes long? And they're all different, but instrumentals in particular, because I know they all have structure, but...
Yeah, well, you know, when I was learning how to play... There was a music teacher who came to the little town that we lived in Ireland, and he would come once a week, and he would give us, you know, he would write out the tune, you know, that he wanted us to learn. But my parents had sent myself and my sisters down for lessons once a week with our little tin whistles. So we would come home from the lesson, and then my sister would go to her room with the music and learn it off the page. And then I would just stand outside her room and listen to her play it and then just pick up from ear what she was doing and then go back the following week and put the music in front of me as if I was, you know, reading it off the page. And that worked well until I got caught. I had the music upside down one week. And they were like, wow, that's interesting.
Oh, Seamus.
So, but a long version of the story to say that I never actually learned how to read. So the music.
Well, music, that is.
I'm coming along in the other one, though. Everyone's happy to hear. But, I never learned how to read music as a result of I thought I was being very clever.
Right. So. And your sister was hogging the sheet music.
Well, you know, we all had our own copy. She was none too pleased that she was sort of doing the hard work. And then I was just listening to what she was doing.
So I see.
There was
so
a little bit of a
Not that she took the only family copy.
No, that would make me. Yeah, that would be a little more in my defense. But no, I had my own copy. Yeah, I would just sit at the door while she was learning it and doing the hard work, and I would go.
And you were playing by ear.
Yeah,
that's perfect.
You know, yeah.
Well, so the rest of the band has to write it out as best they can if they want notes to how that song goes.
Yeah, and then
goes.
They keep checking their door to make sure I'm not outside, lurking outside their door while they're practicing. So everyone's suspicious now if I'm walking down the hallway.
And you're back with the guitar here. And if you would just move up to the mic a little bit. When you're playing, it's awesome. You sound really great, a talented guitarist. And so can't wait to hear the next song that features band.
We're going to have Morris Smiley maybe sing us a song.
Oh, Morris, would you like to introduce this song?
So would you lads like to do As I Went Out Walking?
Yeah.
Okay. So we thought we'd do a song that I learned. I was over in London on another radio show by my friend Sam Lee, and
I bet it was on the BBC.
It was on BBC, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it was actually another, it was called Resonance Radio. And we were talking about traditional music. He showed me a recording of a singer, actually a recording made by Tom Munnelly of a bunch of travelers, musicians and singers. That he made in 1975. And he played this recording of As I Went Out Walking, this great song. And it was sung by a Mrs. Mary McGrath. She had a very low voice and sang without accompaniment, and I fell in love with it. And, so I took it and we added instruments. A funny little banjo part started it. And the story is just, it starts out like so many other songs. As I went out walking one morning in May, and then the walking seems to stop, and the writer make eavesdrops on a conversation between a young couple, and things are not going well. So that's the song. I think he went home and wrote it. So well, here's As I Went Out Walking.
And you have the lads to join you on this one. I love how you put that. Is the Seamus Egan Project here at the KUAC Alaska Live studios today. Thank you. Seamus Egan project here. And Morris, that was really hauntingly beautiful singing and the banjo playing to go with it. Singing and playing banjo at the same time. It's pretty good.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's the Seamus Egan Project here, and they made KUAC's Alaska Live part of their tour stop. They're here for the Fairbanks Far North Fiddle Fest, and that culminates in a show on Sunday afternoon at 3 at Herring Auditorium, and you guys are just one of the bands on stage during that, and some amazing talent here during this weekend for that.
Yeah, no, it's, we're looking forward to that, and kind of getting stuck in.
Yeah. So have you done some workshops already, or did you just get here?
Yeah, we did some workshops. We did. We were at the Ryan Middle School.
Yeah. Oh, great.
We did
West Valley High School.
West Valley and Ryan. And so you've been working with some kids, kicking off their fall with some music and instruction.
Teaching some jigs and reels to the orchestra class. So we don't know how we've ruined the poor children. But
many a young classical musician has been ruined by that traditional music.
Their teacher will be just correcting the techniques that we were showing them. So,
you know, I've had Caitlin Warbelow. She's a fiddle player from Fairbanks that has gone on to great things. I've had her on so many times, and she's a great Irish fiddle player. And I have yet to ask, what is the difference between a jig and a reel? And you just said that you're teaching, and so maybe I'll ask you, Seamus.
Yeah, we went over this in depth. Maybe, I don't know if you take calls, but maybe one of the kids, if they're listening, they could call in and explain it. But the reel is, the difference between reel, I mean, everyone's sort of heard of the Irish jig, which is, you know, the sort of ubiquitous reference to, you know, anything happily Irish, I suppose. but we've got, I mean, there you go. That's the happiest of all jigs. But that happy little tune is in 6/8, as all jigs
timing.
Are.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, 6/8 is not a uniquely Irish rhythm, obviously. But the jig is in 6/8, and the reel is in 4/4. So that's the difference.
And you would do different dances to those also.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Irish music is, primarily a dance music, you know, when it's not telling sad stories, it's people are dancing, I suppose.
Like that last song, I can see that maybe a sequel that, you know, the subject of that song maybe finds true love with someone else who is not so unkind.
Yeah. I hope so.
Yeah.
And then they go off and dance a jig.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
At their wedding day.
I personally do the worm to all of this music, but that's just me.
But it's the worm in 6/8. That's bad, because that's not easy.
Eight.
That's you need practice for that. I can get dodgy in a hurry if you haven't stretched properly. But luckily, Owen stretches regularly.
Yes.
Yeah, he does.
And that's probably something you teach before launching into, you know, playing music, is proper stretching. And
yes, it's essential.
Those Ryan Middle Schoolers and West Valley High Schoolers now know the proper way to go about these things.
Yes, we try and do our best to pass our knowledge on to the youth.
And you're passing your knowledge on to the youth during the Far North Fiddle Fest. And do you teach how to write a song also while you're here? Or is that part of composition? Is that part of the workshops too?
Well, I mean, it might be. I mean, we're all doing different workshops. Mm-hmm. And we haven't really compared our notes yet to see who's teaching what. But I mean, I speaking for myself, I know, I mean, I'll be teaching a banjo workshop on Saturday, and I mean, I could cover that. I haven't really figured that out yet, but you know, we'll probably probably start with just basic sort of the things you need to do before you start writing, like tuning.
Reading music. No, you're not going to teach that.
No, unfortunately. that does pose a little bit. Things take a little longer,
but you know, a lot of people learn very different ways. And like you said, your sister learned by reading music and you learned by hearing music.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it's just different ways of getting to the same place. I mean, you're just trying to make something that's musical, you know, and They're both skills, and there's lots of people like in this room that have both those skills in spades. Mm-hmm. Myself and Owen here. Owen doesn't read music either.
He's a guitarist. He's quite the musician in his own right, and yeah, it's okay. He learned by ear.
Exactly. Yeah, you just kind of get used to it. You don't even think about it, really.
And that must have served you well as a kid. You told the story of your parents, letting you and your sister and your siblings go
to the music class
weekly. The music teacher came to your town.
Yeah.
So they encouraged you to seek out music as more than extracurricular, because I understand that you won All Ireland champions four times on four different instruments by the age of 14. And I mean, I just have to say that, because that is really amazing, Seamus Egan.
Yeah.
Well, it is.
Yeah. It sounds, when you say it like that, mm-hmm. and I hear that, it sounds like, oh my God, I'm impressed with myself, but it's not really. I did that? My goodness.
It's
kind
says.
Of a thing that, growing up in Ireland, and, there were these sort of, they were called flacules, just an Irish word for music competitions. The All Ireland, I suppose, was the Olympics somewhat of Irish music at the time. I mean, the All Ireland, it still goes on today, but people from all over the world would show up, and they're here in the States, and as far away as Australia, from all over, you would sort of do your bit in your age group on your instrument, and you had your qualifying. It was just as you would expect. It was a competition, so, but lots of kids did it, and
Well, you were a multi instrumentalist from the start, because if you won in four different categories of instruments, that's kind of crazy, amazing.
I was really fortunate. Growing up, my parents would, I'm one of six, and if any of us showed any interest in an instrument, some version of that instrument eventually would find its way into our tiny little paws. And we would make noise on it. And then if we showed that it wasn't just sort of a passing fancy, they'd, make sure that we got a more sort of playable instrument.
Yeah. So you were hoping that your brother would cast off the banjo because you wanted to learn that next.
Well, it's funny how, and I don't know if this is in all families, but instruments became like sort of a territorial sort of thing.
Yeah.
Where, if you're... sister is playing the fiddle, you're not going to go for the fiddle necessarily. At least that's the way it was for us. And the accordion was taken, and the fiddle was taken, and this, that, and the other was taken.
Otherwise, it would have been the Egan Accordion Band.
It could, who knows what might have happened.
The Egan Accordion Orchestra.
But there was certain, it got very territorial.
Yeah.
We were just fortunate that, if we showed some interest, we had, like I said, some form of that instrument to sort of make some noise on. And then if there was, if we showed that we wanted to stick with it, we got a better version of that.
Well, we absolutely have your parents to thank for, fostering that in you and all your siblings.
Yeah,
very
fortunate.
Yeah, very fortunate. And you grew up in a small town. I mean, it sounds like, because the music teacher came to your town once a week.
Yeah. It was a place called Foxford in County Mayo. Mm-hmm. Probably most famous for, if anyone's been to Ireland, you've probably gotten something from the Foxford Woolen Mills at some point. The nuns made lovely scratchy blankets.
Sounds like your childhood was filled with some of these scratchy blankets at times.
There was plenty of scratchy blankets in the house, but they looked really nicely, but you wouldn't want to sort of wrap yours. Well, I'm going to get in trouble for that. They're really comfortable. And, the sort of the weather of the west of Ireland kind of hardens the skin, so you actually don't notice the scratchiness so much. So it all works out.
And if you play enough fiery Irish jigs, you don't need that blanket because you're making the heat from yourself. Yes.
Yeah, just for guests.
Yes.
And they don't know what's about to happen. So.
Well, speaking of music, let's hear another from the Seamus Egan Project here, and reintroduce your band if you would.
reintroduce.
Yes,
well,
of course.
I'll start on the other side
okay,
this time.
Yes.
Now that he's back and actually in the chair, Mr. Owen Marshall on the guitar.
I just love the Alaskan water. So
need to go try some
much,
from
yeah.
And on the other side of the room on the cello, Mr. Tristan Claridge. And next to Tristan is Maura Smiley on the vocals, the banjo, and the accordion.
And that makes up the Seamus Egan Project. And it looks like you're putting aside the nylon string guitar and picking up the
banjo.
Right on.
So, yeah, we'll play a little something. Whoa.
It wasn't as bad as it
sounded. No, it sounded bad, though, but we're all okay. So, yeah, we'll play a couple of tunes. The first tune is called The Charleston, which was, it's a reel that was written by a friend of ours, a great accordion player from Chicago.
The Charleston, there's a dance to
and
that.
And there's a dance, but no relationship.
Okay.
There's a bit of a long story about how this tune, but we don't have time
okay.
for it.
No, it's okay.
and it might not actually be that interesting, and people might have to apologize for later. But yeah, so it's the Charleston reel, and then we go into another tune, which I think is called The Contradiction. So
excellent. Thank you. quite the jam. That was great. Owen, how did you become a part of the project here? Is this something that you had to, audition for as a guitarist?
Well, my I have a viral video of me doing the Worm to a jig, and it was Seamus.
He's a sucker for the
liked
Worm.
What he saw, yeah. And
sure, viral videos.
Yeah. I don't really know how I'm here.
He doesn't even know where he is at the moment. We're very lucky.
Yeah. It's a real treat to be here. I am enjoying myself immensely.
How long have you been playing with this current group?
Would you say 3 days would be accurate?
Aha.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, here I am. I was very pleased to get an email from Seamus probably... 4 months ago or something like that. And I said, heck yeah.
Heck yeah, I want to go to Alaska.
I'm in. So, I think that's not very interesting.
Well,
but,
were you a fan of Solas, Seamus's band, before? And so you knew of him?
Bought some albums when I was a young rascal and saved up my weekly allowance and would go in with my sister to various record stores and spend all of our hard-earned money for some recordings and,
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here you are, from that little kid going to the record store and buying Solas albums to playing with Seamus.
I'm trying to play cool, but yeah.
I have to say that is pretty cool.
It is. It's pretty fun. It's pretty fun. Yeah. Playing music is something that I grew up doing, but and I do it full time for sure. This is my job, but yeah. I'm always kind of entertained when I take a step back and look at what I'm doing, because I don't really have grand visions for myself. Left to my own devices, I would just stay home and cook dinner for my excellent partner and burn off all those calories doing the Worm.
Well, so, yeah. Thank goodness for that email that came into the inbox about coming to be a guest at the Far North Fiddle Fest here in Fairbanks.
It's my absolute pleasure to be
here. Yeah, nice. Well, thanks for bringing your wonderful guitar skills here to Alaska Live and KUAC. It's great. And Tristan, when I saw you waiting out in the lobby, I looked and I was like, oh, yep, okay.
Yes, it's so nice to be back.
I know I have had you as a guest here on Alaska Live before, and you've been with the Bee Eaters lately.
Yes.
You played cello with them.
Project along with my sister and a good friend of ours. Yeah, that was 2011 or 12, I think, when we came in.
And I remember we had to delay the show a little bit because you guys were driving through the snow and ice all the way from Tok to get here.
Yeah. We made our way out there for a show there. We drove up from Anchorage as well. And just really got to see a lot of country on that tour. I have great memories of it.
Right. Snow-capped mountains are always, and the Alaska Range in snow is just a beautiful sight. But right now,
so
Fairbanks
memorable.
Is... covered in, the leaves are turning gold, and it's a really nice time to be here too.
It's such a great time. I was also very happy to get the email from Seamus to come up and return to the Far North Fiddle Fest. I was here about 4 years ago with our friend Jeremy Kittle with his band.
Yeah. And
had a great time then, so it's something I've been anticipating all summer.
Right.
It's a nice time to be up here.
The Far North Fiddle Fest culminates in a public concert on Sunday, and that's at Herring at 3, and you can just Google Far North Fiddle Fest and find out more about that concert and how to get tickets to that, and also with the Fairbanks Hospital Foundation, and that's who puts this on, and it's just a really great, Fairbanks Cancer Care Physicians do this, and it's just a really great way to see all the talent that they've brought here as part of the workshops in a concert on Herring Auditorium stage, and that's on this Sunday at 3.
I'm looking forward to hearing lots of the music.
Yeah. And Tristan, you are also here quite a while back because you were here with Crooked Still, and it was when we had some construction going on. So it's really cool that we've got construction noise back.
Yeah, it brings back many great memories.
For listeners, when the Crooked Still was here, we were redoing our own studios, and we had kicked out our broadcast studio out of our main studio into a much smaller production studio that is right next door. And I remember Aoife was kind of sitting beside me using my microphone at the time, and you were trying to...
It was very cozy.
It was cozy.
Fitting the bows and the... getting the fiddle and the cello and the bass and... But music works well that way. So.
It really does. Well, welcome back to construction season here.
It's so nice to be back. Thanks for having us.
You bet. We've got the Great Hall is being redone. And so that's sometimes you hear a little bit of background noise, but it's not a problem because you guys make plenty of noise to drown that out for sure with the Seamus Egan Project. And let's hear another tune.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll do an old Woody Guthrie song.
Wonderful.
Called Pastures of Plenty.
One of my favorites. This is the Seamus Egan Project here on KUAC's Alaska Live.
It's a mighty hard road my poor hands have hoed. My poor feet have traveled a hot, dusty road. Out of your dust bowl and westward we rove, through deserts so hot and through mountains so cold. Well, I've wandered all over your green growing land, wherever your crops are, I'll lend you my hand. At the edge of your cities, you'll see me, and then I come with the dust, and I'm gone with the wind. California, Arizona, I've worked on your crops. Gone northward up to Oregon to gather your hops, and the beets from the ground, and the grapes from your vine, to set at your table your white sparkling wine. Thank you.
Wow, that was great rendition of that Woody Guthrie tune with Pastures of Plenty. You know, Woody Guthrie's great-grandson was just here with the Both Thayer Trio, Krishna Guthrie. And it was such a great time to have him here. He plays guitar and drums and, yeah, it was really fun. So I felt like I had a living legend right here at the studios. Morris, do you remember getting an email from Seamus about coming to Paris? Everybody else got the email.
Email from Seamus.
Which is why I'm the worst when it comes to emails.
Yeah, that's funny.
Out this time.
Yeah. I think I remember an email from Seamus.
Yeah.
I think the first time I met Seamus was at a festival. Solace was playing out in California. And then I think the next time we actually spoke was several years later, and we were going to do a show put on by Brian O'Donovan, who is known in Boston for his radio show. So, yeah, I think it was 2013 that we started playing together again.
And so he recruited you for the Far North Fiddle Fest that's here in Fairbanks this weekend. That's great.
Yep.
You have such a lovely voice.
Oh, thanks.
And it seems like maybe you've been singing for a lifetime.
I've been singing for a long time, yeah. And a lot of I grew up in Vermont, actually, like Owen did. We both come from the western part of Vermont. Uh-huh. And, yeah, so there was a lot of folk music going on in that time and place. So got steeped in it kind of early. My dad played banjo.
All right.
Yeah.
And were you wanting to pick up accordion right away or?
Good question. Why would you do that?
It's heavy.
I mean, I love the accordion now. It is. It's complicated. But I was a keyboard player. I was actually a classical pianist. And so I came late to it. But it was, you know, it's a stomach Steinway, so you can take it with you. And I like that since I'm a traveler. I just can't stay put. So
it's very tough to move that piano around and take it with you on tour.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, so I kind of let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, traditional music got you too.
Yeah, I know.
You grew up with some classical music and then that traditional music just pulled you right away and got a hold.
Yep, it's true. It's sometimes no going back. Yeah.
Familiar to many, but some, you know, are playing classical music and doing both, or, you know, taking it to the small towns. My last guest on Alaska Live last week, Miki Swada, she was taking a piano around to the small communities and little coffee shops and libraries of Alaska on her tour. And it was classical piano that she was taking there. And so it was really cool to, you know, have these gatherings.
That's beautiful. Yeah. I mean, the piano is an amazing instrument. And so, you know, it's like it's its own orchestra. And so, if you have the guts to do it, you should do it.
Right.
You know? Yeah. It's a good one.
And you took your message to Ryan Middle School and to West Valley High School, and it seemed like the kids were receptive there.
We kind of broke down. I mean, I'm one who still does classical music actually in some ways, and so we were happy to kind of break down. We were trying to break down the groove for them because sometimes you don't get that when you're reading music. You don't really get the like this is how we play together, you know, in a groove kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that was really fun. And they kept on asking us to play Star Wars, but which we didn't do. But other than that, I think they were pretty down with it. Yeah.
You know, John Williams, he does write some epic soundtracks.
He does. Yeah. He's a talented man.
Yes.
Yeah. So, the lads are making some. They're gesturing wildly.
I know. I think they've got something in their head next for the set list. So what do we have, Seamus? You've picked up the banjo this time. And
I couldn't remember how something started. So.
Oh, and so just let Morris entertain our listeners while you and Owen got that all previewed. Well, that's amazing.
It was sort of like we were messing around in the back of the classroom and you just got caught.
It's okay. No one could see it.
No one's fault. So, we were trying to remember how this next song goes.
I can't wait.
And now we have it.
Oh, good.
Some fashion of it. It's a song that was from an album that Solis did a couple of years back. It was, a themed album called Shamrock City, which is the story of a great uncle of mine who came to America in the early 1900s, and he eventually found his way out to Butte, Montana, where he worked in the copper mines until his death in 1916. So it was sort of this, had grown up with this story in the family. I remember my father telling us as kids, and then years later we get the band gets an invitation to go out to Butte to play at a festival. And so when I told my father we were headed there, he was like, well, maybe
that's Shamrock City.
Well, exactly. And that we could try see. Well, it really just started off with my father asking if I could find out where this relative might have been buried, because all we really knew at that point was that he was out there somewhere. So it was that sort of initial inquiry to find out, if there was any information about his burial, that eventually led to us learning more about Michael Conway, that was his name, but his life here in America, and also his life in Butte and Butte's history and its sort of remarkable connection to Irish immigration and all that kind of stuff, and it's and Butte's amazing history and its contribution to American history. So all of that over the course of 10 years led to Solis, who wrote this album. And then eventually, after about 10 years, we finally found where Michael Conway was buried, because he'd been put into a unmarked pauper's grave back then. And one of the nice things about the whole thing was that ended up meeting a whole bunch of the family, of relatives that I'd never known before.
Oh, that's amazing.
And then they got together and raised enough money amongst themselves to give give Michael Conway a headstone on the grave. So after 100, it was almost 100 years to the day that he died, that he finally got a headstone. So it was sort of it all kind of tied up in a nice
that
little.
Really, that has almost a happy ending. I mean, as far as
it's sort of a Butte happy ending, which is a very distinct type of happy ending.
It's a darker happy ending.
You kind of take it where you can get it, really. Yeah. But it's a remarkable place, and over the years, we spent a lot of time there, and kind of feel part of the place at this point. So this song is from that. From that album. It's a song that we wrote called Tell God and the Devil.
This is the Seamus Egan Project here on KUAC's Alaska Live.
Is this a mining area?
As I was thinking, we have gold mines here right outside of Fairbanks. We have coal mines down by Healy with Usabelli Coal. And when you were saying copper mines, I was thinking of McCarthy was one of the biggest copper mines ever. And it's a National Historic Place now, and it's an amazing place to go. So if you guys ever get a chance to go out to McCarthy.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so definitely mining is still, part of our present and history. So,
there are some mining terms in this song that you might fly by and puzzle you. But one is a chippy, is an elevator that goes down into the shaft of the mine. And then there's muckers, skinners, and nippers. Those are all different jobs in the mine. So just wanted you to know.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Today's not gonna be the day we die. and down the tracks.
Song. And Seamus, you wrote that.
Myself and Mick McCauley, who was in Solace.
Yeah. And you recorded that on the album Shamrock City. And I know that Rhianna Giddens from the Carolina Chocolate Drops, she was featured on some of the songs.
We're so lucky to you know that she agreed to sing on the album.
She's amazing.
She's incredible.
I think that she was trained in opera, so she came from a different time.
Exactly. Yeah. And look at her now.
She's off on solo projects, and she was just a member of the Carolina Chocolate Drops, that jug band that really was evolving, you know, that old traditional music, as you do so well also. I love the way traditional music just keeps evolving. It's never stopped.
No, I mean, I think Irish music is, you know, luckily that it hasn't sort of ended up sort of behind glass in a museum.
Yeah.
That it, you know, seems to find a way to keep, you know, taking deep breaths of taking in everything around it, and still, you know, I think the core of it never goes away, but it's strong enough at this point that you can hang a lot of different bits of clothing on it, but you still know what's underneath.
So. I like the way you put that, Seamus. Well, I think we are at the point where we call for the finale.
No,
and
we're just getting warmed up.
I know it is. It has gone so fast, and
who do we talk to? Who can we call?
Well, I tell you what, you listeners out there, you should definitely look up when you can see these guys again. And that is on Sunday at Herring Auditorium at 3 o'clock. And
and Thursday, that's today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, tonight. We're playing tonight at the Ski Land.
At Ski Land.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
We're not quite sure what to expect with a name like that.
It's
but we're excited.
Beautiful up there.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's a benefit for hospice, I think.
Mm, yeah, yes. 7 o'clock tonight.
7 o'clock tonight. So find out more about that at FairbanksHospitalFoundation.com. And FairbanksHospitalFoundation.com is where you find out more about, or you can just Google the Far North Fiddle Festival and find out more about where you all will be. And all the happenings and the events and all the bands that are playing also. It's not just the Seamus Egan Project. It's the Barefoot Movement and so many more. Troy.
Troy McGillicuddy.
Yeah. And some of these bands have been on Alaska Live before, so I'd never had Solace or the Seamus Egan Project on, so definitely that's how I picked you.
Well, thanks for having us. We really appreciate it. It's so great to be back here in Alaska.
So nice to have you.
Thank you. So, we'll finish with another blast of tunes.
Okay.
Third tune is a big name, a tune I wrote for on the occasion of the birth of one of my little nephews. His name is Grady Fernando. So I call it Grady Fernando Comes to Town.
That was a lot of fun. Well, it has been a pleasure to have the Seamus Egan Project here for KUAC's Alaska Live. Thanks so much.
Oh, thanks so much for having us.
You bet. I'm your host. I'm Lori Neufeld for Alaska Live here on KUAC. Support for the Alaska Live series of live music and conversation on KUAC is made possible by a grant from Design Alaska. Design Alaska, strengthening the community through support of the arts.